Phoenix 98 FM. This is Eat My Brunch. Now joining me, hopefully on the line, is my guest for today. It's singer-songwriter Jack Francis. Jack's debut EP, The Van Wyck Expressway, gathered a lot of industry attention, along with his second self-titled EP, which was released in 2017. His new EP is recorded and we are waiting for the release date. So a very good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Your track, which we're going to be playing out a little bit later, Shortcut, beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Beautiful.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So when did you first get the music bug?
I didn't pick up an instrument until I was about probably 13, but I always loved music before that, even as a young kid. I just remember hearing music in the back of the car and stuff like that. So I didn't properly start doing it until I was in my young teens, but then since then it's been pretty non-stop.
Do you remember the first tune that you actually learned on the guitar?
It probably would have been a Beatles song, or possibly an Oasis song. They're kind of simple chord wise and stuff, so they're good for when you're starting to learn.
We won't say that to Noel Gallagher, obviously, because he'll get...
Oh no, there's nothing wrong with simple. Simple's great.
No, it's what it's like. They do a book, don't they? I think for the Beatles, like a tune a day or something.
Yeah,
I think
that's,
you know,
right, yeah.
Yeah. So, what were your influences, and who has influenced your music today?
I kind of grew up... Well, I've got a brother who's about 10 years older than me, and I kind of grew up on his record collection, basically. So it's a lot of there was a lot of Britpop and stuff in the early years, and then the Beatles and the Stones, and then sort of through a lot of black music like Motown and James Brown and stuff like that, and then kind of folk as well, like a bit of Bob. Then I got into Bob Dylan and Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and stuff like that. And it kind of just keeps broadening and, you know, escalating year by year in terms of taste. Yeah, that was kind of how it started and grew.
With your music, you've kind of had this amazing response, which all singer songwriters would love, and possibly 99% of them don't get. So you've had, like, you know, BBC Introducing, Brilliant Voice, Amazing Songwriting Talent. You've had Hauntingly Wonderful Acoustic Tunes, Tinged in Old Americana. You've had some fantastic reviews. Did you sort of put stuff out there and then you just got interest from labels? How did it work for you?
Yeah, a little bit. It came out of the blue, to be honest. I just put the first EP out and then there was a bit of buzz around it, and then I put a couple more songs out after that, which was Shortcut. And you know, the buzz kind of goes away for a bit and came back, and now I'm working with a label again. So it's a different label to anyone that was interested before, but it's going quite well. It's just a lot of songwriting and, you know, recording and stuff, but it's going well.
Is it a lot easier being signed to a label, do you think?
It's not. It's just different. It just presents different challenges, basically. I spent years, obviously, just gigging and recording by myself independently, and it's only been a sort of recent thing that the labels come in. But, yeah, I think the challenges are just different. You feel the pressure to write as much as possible and to spend your time honing your skills and doing whatever you can to make yourself as good as possible. When you're unsigned, you have maybe a little bit, you know, you have more to deal with in terms of in booking gigs and getting yourself out there as much as possible in a world where everyone's doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Your debut EP, how long did it take you to put that together? Was that songs that you'd had for a good number of years?
The songs were relatively new when I recorded it. And it was kind of recorded over a sort of 6 month period, even though it was only four songs. Because I had no money, I didn't do it all in one hit. It kind of was bit by bit with a producer called Adam Morley in London, who liked what I was doing, and he offered to work with me for free. So that was how it all came about, basically.
Wow, lucky you.
Very lucky.
I like
it was lucky
that.
And yeah, absolutely. Wow. Very lucky.
With the new EP that's going to come out, it's already recorded, mixed, masters, it's ready to go. Is it due to lockdown, just on the back burner until maybe later in the year?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure when it was going to be coming out before all of this happened anyway, but I think obviously the music industry's kind of shut itself down over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So it probably has just pushed things back a little bit, but I didn't have a particular date set in the first place. So it's just taking it as it comes. Everything takes a little while in the music industry, but hopefully it'll be worth it at the end. I love writing songs, and songs are just the most important thing to me, so hopefully, you know, it's still my songs, and the songwriting is hopefully will come through, and people will, you know, resonate with it. So that hasn't really changed, but the production value's maybe gone up a touch. But that's the only thing that's different, really.
Do you write your best songs when you're in a foul or sad mood, or do you write better when you're happy, or for you it doesn't really make any difference?
I probably write the best songs when I'm in a melancholy sort of sad state. Even my songs that sound happy are actually quite sad. So yeah, I'm quite sort of introspective songwriter, so I write about myself a lot. But as a songwriter, you've got to draw influence from all kinds of places. So you draw influence from maybe a friend that's going through a certain situation that you can empathise with. You know, it comes from all over. It's not really inspired by particular people, for me anyway.
Do you sit and write lyrics in a book, or somebody picks the guitar up and then just the lyrics come out, or is it different every time you write?
I tend to write music first. I'll have a guitar part or something and then work a melody around that, and the lyrics usually come last for me. But obviously everyone's process is different.
What's the best lyric that you think you've ever written, and what was the song, the lyric where you went, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself?
I've got, no one's ever heard the song because I've never released it, but I've got a song called Shadow of My Doubt, and there's a lyric in that that says, I'm nothing but a joke to you, a punchline you can't take, just a forgery, a fraud, another fake, which I like the lyric.
Yeah.
People will probably never hear the song, but I like the lyric anyway.
You can't do that. You've got to release it.
I know. There's so many songs, I don't know. Yeah, God knows.
How many do you reckon you write in a year?
In a year?
Are you like into the hundreds?
Probably close. Especially if you count sort of unfinished, you know, if I've got a verse and a chorus but the song's never quite been completed.
Yeah.
You know, you end up picking what you think are your best songs to for people to hear and to play at gigs and stuff. But yeah, so there's a lot more written than anyone's probably heard or ever will hear.
Or all the bits that you mishmash together, you might go, hold on a minute, that chorus could go with that song I wrote four years ago.
Definitely that happens. It's worth going back over the old stuff sometimes, just that you've forgotten about, because you might find something good in there.
When you're writing, although you might go, I hate this song, you have to write it out, and then you may never, ever play it again, but you have to get it out of your system.
Absolutely, yeah, that's totally true. That's advice I'd give to anyone. So you have to get through the stuff that isn't necessarily going to be heard in order to get to the best stuff you're going to write.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Tell us about the Spiritual Bar.
The Spiritual Bar in Camden is just a kind of hub of musicians and songwriters in London that's been the most sort of prevalent music scene that I've found in the years of gigging around the country. But it's just it's kind of roots-based, so there's blues artists and folk artists, and there's some jazz, and it kind of varies in terms of musical style, but it's a tiny little bar that just really supports up-and-coming artists and up-and-coming songwriters that are now sort of some people starting to break out of it on a more national scale. But they've really looked after a lot of people and given them a platform to sort of learn and grow as writers and musicians, which not a lot of places give.
Got a gig coming up locally in Chelmsford, which is going to be at the United Brethren, which is MJ Media. What date is that? Because that's like a festival, isn't it, over a couple of days?
Yeah, it's the 29th of August. It's the August bank holiday.
And how long are you doing your set for?
I'm not actually sure as of yet. I think it's probably 30 to 40 minutes, I'd imagine.
Excellent. It's a lovely venue, as I said to you off air. You'll enjoy that. You'll really enjoy it. And this track we're going to play is Shortcut. What EPs is this from? And tell us about the track as well.
This is from a second EP that I released in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a couple of years old. The track is one of those songs that was written really quickly. So usually you're onto something if you're doing that. but I've always liked the song. I still play it now. It's kind of comes from quite a sad place, but it's, yeah, that's all there is to say about it, really.
It's really lovely to talk to you. I will be seeing you in too. August. Thanks for the interview.
Lovely, thank you very much.
This is Jack Francis, and this is a beautiful song. It's called Shortcut. Thanks Jack. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
Man made, I can take the pain, but I'm tired of growing old. I moved to greener pastures that I long for. I'd love to say that I'd make it, but the cruel reality is that I stay hungry for uncertainty. And I hear the thunder, see the rain, and I feel the wind that's blowing. With hopeless wonder, so much to gain, I had no way of knowing that I would. Look in your eyes as the door shuts, I go through you for a shortcut to get home. Cast aside, I was terrorized, 'cause I love to play the fool. But for you I'd give up all that I've worked for. I'm out of place with an expensive taste. I can only afford the cheap, for I'll be a rich man when your love is finally free.